Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Patrick Allen, Matt Verderam, back again to talk Chiefs as the team is in the mandatory minicamp phase, which is exciting and will eventually, of course, lead to the actual camp, training camp. How you doing, Verderam?
Doing fine. I am relaxing. I am staying as inside as possible since it's about 98 degrees here, although a little later I got a soccer game to coach. But other than that, thank God for central air.
Yeah, you're not kidding, man. Some of the folks are members know because we've been chatting in the Discord, but I came down with the Rona on Friday. So right after we did this podcast, so I've been a little bit under the weather the last week, still testing positive, but feeling much better. Worked out a little bit today, back on my feet, no fever, all that stuff. So was able to weather that pretty well. Feeling good. I'm glad to be here today. I was on the injury report. I was questionable a couple of days ago. Moved to probable and had a good workout today. So happy to be here with you all and feeling better.
Well, I'm glad it didn't kill you, and hopefully the Chiefs don't make you wish it took you out come September. A lot, you know, but no, it's good. You're back on your feet. You know, listen, you went away. You were gone for what, a week, something like that.
Yeah. A week. I was in Florida.
These things happen when you, that's the way it goes, but I'm glad you're feeling better. I know, our colleague, Ben Heisler, he is going to the Canadian Rockies, I believe at the end of the month, and his wife are doing everything imaginable to avoid getting COVID.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks. You know, it's just the way it is.
That's the thing, right? Is you don't, you know, we're finally able to get out of our houses and all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, people are planning vacations. And the last thing you want to have happen is, I mean, you never want to get sick, period, but obviously not with this. Definitely can take you off your feet. My lung capacity is not 100%. That's for sure. But I'll do my best here. I think I've got enough hot air to blow out talking Chiefs for you guys. We've got a really great show today. We got a lot of interesting things to talk about. Obviously, we're going to touch on the Tyreek Hill absurdity. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Chiefs brought back Jerick McKinnon. Something we talked about last week on the show that we thought they should have done. They obviously, Brett Veach, longtime listener of the show, takes his cues from us. Yeah. And then we're going to look at three long shot free agents. This came from an article on Arrowhead Addict. Three long shot offensive free agents that the Chiefs might sign. Go through those. See what you guys think about that. It's that time of year, y'all. And D says, Patrick, looking good, though. Appreciate it. Yeah. Looking a lot better than I did yesterday when I was still coming down from that fever. And then we're going to talk about Chris Jones and what's his future with the Chiefs. And then we'll wrap things up with a power rankings. We're going to power rank the Chiefs uniform combination. So that'll be fun. We've never done that on the show. I know everybody has very passionate opinions about red on red and white on white and all that. So it'll be fun. So we're going to get into it. But the first thing I wanted to do is, Verderam, I had to ask you about these really quickly, these Tyreek Hill statements, this craziness from Tyreek. Now, listen, I've been hearing it on Twitter, like, oh, stop. Who cares? He's gone. Listen to me now, okay? It's June, all right? He played for the Chiefs. He's an all-time great Chief, you know, won a Super Bowl with the team. It just happened over the weekend. So I know you guys are sick of Tyreek Hill. I know you're annoyed that he left, that he wanted money. A lot of you, you know, I get it, but we got to talk about it. He's throwing our guy Mahomes under the bus a little bit. pissed me off. I thought it was unnecessary and ridiculous. I know you did a Spaces on this, Verderam, but for those who didn't catch it, what's your take on this whole
match? I did it Spaces on it. I talked about it on Stack in the Box on Tuesday. Look, obviously kind of just continue the same thought. I'm not going to get into whether or not Tua or Mahomes is the better player, is more accurate. I mean, come on. I mean, anybody who wants to sit down, Tua's own family wouldn't take Tua. Okay, so we can just throw that to the side. As far as the accuracy thing goes, they're 1/10 of a point of a percent different in their careers. Tua's 1/10 better. I think it's like 66.8 and 66.7. One of them throws the ball more downfield than anybody in football. And the other one, I saw it on Twitter, but I forget who it was. Tua ranked 36th last year on passes over 20 yards. I mean, that's like a backup quarterback, 36th. As far as though with the other stuff, look, I thought the more interesting point was when Tyreek talked, and I thought it got kind of washed over, was when he talked about, well, you know, when I was negotiating a deal with Kansas City, and of course I'm paraphrasing, but you know, I called Pat, and you know, in other words, trying to get something done. It almost seems like he wanted to be there, which I've said he did want to be there. Went to Pat, get the thing done, and then it didn't get done. Maybe he feels jilted. Maybe he feels like Pat didn't go to bat enough for him. And I don't know whether he did, he didn't. If Tyreek feels that way, I mean, I'm connecting dots. I'm not on a text thread with the two of them. But it seems like he feels like the Chiefs didn't value him. I mean, he came out and said that. And that maybe Patrick Mahomes wasn't doing enough to keep him there. And look, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe Patrick said, look, guys, we need a defense more than we need Tyreek. Like, I will elevate who's around me, get a defense. Now, I don't know. Maybe that never happened. We know that the Chiefs looped him in and told him what was going on because he said as much after the trade. The bottom line is Tyreek's got to move on. I mean, at some point here, you got paid. You got paid $30 million a year, $120 overall, $75 million guaranteed. It's a record contract for a receiver. You live on South Beach. Get over it. I mean, at some point, I get feeling jilted. He's human. He's allowed to feel that way. But at some point, it does just become, look, it is what it is. And to just air all this, I'll tell you one other thing, too, and I'll close on this. If I were a Dolphins fan, if I worked in the front office, if I was a coach, I'd be unnerved that after a game where he almost had 200 yards against the Browns that they won, by the way, that the following week he had whatever it was, three catches for 40 yards or something, and then called up Drew Rosenhaus and was like, well, that's bullshit. Why didn't I get my – are you kidding? And then, by the way, 2 weeks later had 186 yards against the Eagles and three touchdowns. Like, you're not going to get more targets in Miami than you got in Kansas City. You are not. I wrote this in Stack in the Box on Monday for those who read the column at FanSided. Look, in the 4 years that he played with Mahomes, of any receivers across the league, tight ends included, that played at least 55 games in the last four seasons, he ranked 8th in targets per game. Okay? He was at 8.6. The other 7 guys, excluding one of them, who I'll touch on in a second, all were guys who were far and away the best players on their teams in terms of guys you would target. Devontae Adams was number one. DeAndre Hopkins was up top. Keenan Allen, who does have Mike Williams, but he's not Keenan Allen. Cooper Kupp. The only guy, Stephon Diggs was another one, the only guy who shared the field outside of Hill with an elite player was Travis Kelce, who finished 7th with 8.9 targets per game. So, look, Hill's going to a team with Waddle and Gesicki and also a team that's going to want to run the ball a lot under McDaniel. I would be willing to bet my mortgage he gets targeted less than he got targeted in Kansas City. And I think, look, that would worry me. If he was that upset about the way he got targeted 159 times last year, I would be scared to death if I was Miami about, okay, what happens if we start 1-4 and he has a game where he's targeted 4 times? Then what? That would seriously worry me.
Yeah, the targeting, like the underusage stuff coming from him, and it's just, it's so preposterous. And it's like, what do you want? Like, look at any great player's stats. Nobody's just like, oh yeah, I put up I catch 7 balls for 110 yards every week. Or, you know, I get 15, 20 handoffs for 100 every week. Like, that just doesn't happen. You have great players have those kinds of games like Tyreek Hill has, where they go nuts. And the next team that plays him decides, all right, like that team tried not dealing with him. That obviously didn't work. We're going to try something a little bit different. Sometimes it doesn't matter. But like to suggest that they were like, oh, we had a big week, we better pull back on him next week, is just completely preposterous. I don't understand it. Look, I know he's doing a podcast. He's trying to get They're trying to drum up publicity. And, you know, he has a host on that podcast. And I'll be honest with you.
His hostess is a lawyer.
Right, right. Sometimes I think that people don't even know what they think about things. You know what I mean? Like, I know it seems like a weird concept, but like, how much has Tyreek Hill really thought about that stuff before he got asked it on the podcast? Do you know what I mean? Like, and he's in the moment. You see this happen with people a lot. You see, hell, I used to feel like Trump did that all the time, not to get political, but like he was one of these people that sometimes like, you know, you feel like you go which way the wind was blowing or like what, you know, and I feel like that Tyreek was in that situation where he was just kind of like, he's getting asked about it and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I should have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder or whatever. Look, I think I read a really interesting article and I can't remember who wrote it, but it was, I believe it was from, The Ringer. It was talking about the use of like how teams like the Chiefs and the Bills had to get away from the spread last year because of the NFL's new obsession with the two high safeties. Right.
Right.
And they dealt with it in different ways. And one of the ways that the Bills dealt with it was they went into a lot more tight end heavy sets, fullback heavy sets, so that teams had to play their base defense more. And the Chiefs went under center more than they ever have with Patrick Mahomes. And they started running more play action and things like that. It's all an evolution. And I think one of the teams that's been really great about this over the years, as we know, has been the Patriots. The Patriots offense was not static. It was not, this is our offense. This is what they did, the whole thing with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. And that was like revolution. Well, these two great tight ends and you know, they would run the football. It changes. And I think the Chiefs are looking at their offense, and I think it was a consideration. Okay, hey, if we're going to stay ahead and Andy's an innovator, we may have to do things a little bit differently.
But again, look, I mean, here are the targets, and then we get to move on because this is dumb. Targets in last season, game by game, and I'm going to exclude two games for obvious reasons. The Pittsburgh game when he was coming off of COVID, and he was not right. And the last game of the year where he got hurt in pregame with his heel, and they barely played him, okay? So I'm not talking about those two games because he was barely on the field. The other games, 15, 4, that Baltimore game, 7. Okay, now keep in mind, his average in his career with Mahomes, his average, 8.6. 15, 4, 7, 12, 13, 12, 9, 18, 11, 10, 11, 5, 4, as a dip there, 13, 10. What is the problem? I mean, other than the Baltimore game, a game against Denver, and a game against the Raiders, which they won 48-9, might I add. The only game that they lost where they targeted him less than 7 times, which only happened 3, it's a Baltimore game. And they scored a million points in the game. They just happened to lose. What, I mean, I just don't understand what world he lives in. He got targeted double digits 10 times in the regular season. Then if you want to extrapolate this to the playoffs, he got targeted 5 times against Pittsburgh. We caught all 5 passes, 57 yards. They won going away. He was targeted 13 times against Buffalo and then 10 in the AFC Championship game. I mean, what do you want? How many targets do you want? I don't. And he shares a field. It's not like it's some bum fest out there. You're being targeted of absolute ton of times. Like, look, the bottom line for me, you will notice all the noise out of this has come from one side. Because I can tell you in the last week, I've texted a lot of people around the Chiefs. Nobody has responded about this, which is not surprising, by the way. It's probably what they should do. They don't care. They don't care. It's why I tested you a week or two ago when it was asked about, like, what do you think of they don't care. You think Patrick Mahomes is worried about Tyreek Hill right now? He's trying to get right with Valdez Scantling and Juju and work it up with Hardman. They don't care. That doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt them. Look, I've been on the record with this. I think it's going to hurt them short term that he's not on that team. I do. I think they're going to feel that. I still think they're going to be a very good offense. I think with him, they would have been the best offense in football this year. I think without him, they're top 5. Still great, but not elite, depending on your definition. It's going to hurt them. You know what it's really going to hurt them? On 3rd and 8, when you couldn't double Kelce before, and if you did, then you couldn't double Hill. Now you can double Kelce every 3rd and 8. And it's going to become, you've got to be able to beat guys elsewhere. And that's where it's going to hurt them. But I got to tell you, you know what's going to hurt more? Tyreek Hill, when he's wide open on a go ball, and it doesn't get there. Or they're running the ball enough that the two is throwing the ball 25 times and not 42 times like Mahomes would. That's when Tyreek's going to care. And our guy, Stacey, says Reed atypically lost his cool the first time he's asked about it. I think they care, but they aren't going to give Hill the satisfaction. I think there's truth in that. Maybe I should have said that they publicly don't care. I think it's more irritating to them than anything else.
I guess what I'm trying to get out is I don't think the Chiefs are sitting there worrying about Tyreek Hill. Like they traded him. They got five picks. They moved on. I think they're far more worried about building this defense than they are about what Tyreek Hill has to say in a podcast with his agent and his lawyer.
Yeah, it was preposterous, and I'm sure that they're annoyed by it. And the organization stood by Hill through a lot of crap. And it's, I'm sure there's some feelings there, but I agree with you. They've moved on. They don't care. And look, come September, none of this is going to matter. And it's only going to matter if the Chiefs end up playing the Dolphins in the playoffs. And I'm not sure that's going to happen. So
I'm sure the Chiefs would welcome playing the Dolphins in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah.
Believe me.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, this podcast is brought to you by the Kansas City Beer Company. KC Beer Co. is the largest locally owned brewery in Kansas City, and it's the only brewery that brews its beer according to the German purity law of 1516. Totally crazy. Four ingredients: malt, hops, water, and yeast. It's absolutely delicious. It's an award-winning brewery. They've supported this podcast now. They're going to be with us all the way through the end of the year. It's really exciting. So make sure you stop by the brew house over there. Say hello to them for us. And look for the KC, the red KC Beer Co. cartons in your local store. And support the Arrowhead Addict podcast. I say this all the time, by supporting KC Beer Co. And do us a favor, at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Haven't seen any in a while. Would appreciate it. Give them a shout. Let them know that you heard about the Arrowhead Addict podcast, their beer on the Arrowhead Addict podcast. Keep us in business and dare to beer different. All right, let's get into some of these discussions now. The big one, or you know, as big as sort of the moves that happened this time of year, are the Chiefs brought back Jerick McKinnon. Now, we talked about the running backs last week, so I don't want to retread too much of this, but this was an interesting move. And you know, you brought this up last week, Verderam, that, hey, you know, I don't know why they haven't brought him back McKinnon, because he's a good blocker and all the rest of the guys they have not known for their blocking prowess. So now we already talked about how it was like a little bit crowded. But you know, maybe we thought all four guys would make the roster. Now you've got a really interesting running back group of CEH, Ronald Jones, Derek Orr, Isaiah Pacheco, the seventh round pick, and now McKinnon. And I wanted to ask you, because Sterling and Matt Connor talked about this on the Tuesday show, and I thought it was interesting with the addition of McKinnon. They said, you know, Matt Connor made a good point. He said, look at, there's been a lot of fanfare around Ronald Jones, because he's kind of known, a known quantity, right? But Matt Connor said on Tuesday, hey, look at his contract. This is not like a slam dunk. Oh yeah, this guy's going to be on the roster. And they had a conversation about is this backfield completely up for grabs? Now you figure CEH is going to make the team, right?
Yeah, he's on the team.
He's still on the rookie deal and all that, young guy. But with the, as far as the rest of the spots go, I mean, is it a slam dunk that Ronald Jones is going to make the team?
I would say it's very unlikely. But I also am old enough to remember when they brought in Carlos Hyde and cut Carlos Hyde.
Yeah. Okay.
Carlos Hyde showed up out of shape. They cut him at the end of the preseason. He went to Houston. He tore them up in week five. Then he came back in week six, I believe actually it was. Then he came back in the playoffs. They shut him down, and Frank Clark had choice words after the game about it. Okay. I don't know that I think, oh, he'll be out of the mix. Look, CEH and Ronald Jones are the best bets, but I talked about it last week, and I'm glad the Chiefs made me look smart for once. They needed a guy who could block as a back. And I know people point out, well, Pacheco, their seventh-round rookie, can block. Yeah, but he doesn't know the offense yet. That's a lot of trust in a seventh-round rookie when some team brings a fire blitz. And hey, Isaiah, get out there and make sure you read this right. Well, if he doesn't read it right, 15 is in the ground. Okay, I trust Jerick McKinnon a hell of a lot more to step up, read it right, and hammer whoever the blitzing linebacker is, the blitzing corner is. I would argue with the Chiefs, there is no more important characteristic in a running back on that team than blocking on third down. None. Like, and the nice thing about McKinnon is a lot of times, for those who don't know, and I know a lot of you do know this, a lot of times with running backs, especially on a, you know, on a passing play, obviously on a running play, of course, it's pretty self-explanatory, but on a passing play, they will stay in to block if they see a blitz coming. You know, if they read across, Mahomes will a lot of times signal that, or Humphrey will signal that. However, if they're in to block, but then nobody comes on a blitz, they then release into a pass pattern. Well, the nice thing about McKinnon is you can catch the football. So maybe you bring him in there. Maybe it's a heavy blitz scheme, okay? You're going against a team that blitzes quite a bit. You say, all right, look, you're in on third and eight. We think they're going to bring a blitz. We think they're going to bring the backer. But all of a sudden, pre-snap, you're looking around going, okay, they're not going to blitz. They don't have a guy up here. They're going to drop. They're going to play coverage. All right, I can leak out now. Well, now you got another guy who can really catch the football. And who's proven, by the way, who's pretty tough in space, who can run over a guy, who can get around the guy. I was shocked it took them this long to sign Jerick McKinnon. Like, I understand he has an injury history. Who cares? for what you're paying him, I got to be honest with you. I think he's the best all around back on the team. Now, I don't know. I don't think he's going to put up the best numbers because I think they're going to be pretty judicious in how they use him. I also think it was telling that in the playoffs, who did they use? Like, I know CEH is coming off the injury. Like, who did they use? They used him. So, look, I like the signing. I don't think you're going to have more than – look, you got to keep in mind Burton's a fullback. He's going to make the team. CEH is going to make the team. I would suspect that they're only going to keep two other backs. I mean, I would think it's probably going to be McKinnon and Ronald Jones, although maybe they look at it and think, all right, it's a little bit of a logjam. You know, maybe they trade Ronald Jones for a real late-round pick. Maybe they, you know, stick Pacheco on the practice squad and they release Gore, or they keep Gore and they trade Jones. I think the only certainty CEH is going to make the team, and I do think McKinnon's making this team because of his ability to block.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I'm really confused as to why they signed McKinnon now. I mean, I think I know why they signed him, but I'm wondering why they waited this long, you know, when he could have gotten snatched up. I'm wondering if there's something we don't know. Like maybe he was dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury and they were like, hey, you know, we want to wait and see, you know, how you are, you know, keep in touch with us. We'd love to have you back. Like, let us know how it's going. Maybe that was it. It's really strange. I don't think I've heard some people talking about Pacheco and maybe making it the team on special teams and being a returner. I think that's interesting, but I got to be honest with you. They've kept Derek Gore around, and I just don't see Pacheco on the roster. Practice squad makes a ton of sense.
It's hard. Seventh round back, it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that was like obviously not high up on their list. If running back was a really, really big priority for them, they would have done something before the seventh round. Right. There were some guys in this class.
I got to be honest. Of all the moves they made this offseason, and the Hill one, obviously controversial, and even Tyrann Mathieu, although I really like Justin Reed. I think they probably made the right long-term decision. The one move I didn't get was the Ronald Jones signing. I didn't get it before McKinnon. Ronald Jones fumbles the ball a lot and can't catch and can't block. Like, I get it. He's got a high yards per attempt.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he doesn't have value, but like in terms of running the football, I'd rather give CEH those carries. Like, if you're splitting CEH with Ronald Jones, it tells me all I need to know about what they think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right.
Nothing against Ronald Jones. And look, I'm not trying to just sit here and just pound on Ronald Jones. He's had productive seasons in his career where he has run the ball well. I understand why they signed him, but I don't like backs who fumble. To me, that is the worst characteristic of a running back. You cannot give the ball to your team, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes. Number two, I like backs, especially in Reed's offense, that can catch the ball. Say whatever you want about Edwards-Helaire. He can catch the football, and so can McKinnon. And so can Gore, for that matter. Like, he's shown the ability to catch, but he had a big catch in the playoffs last year against Pittsburgh. I'm not a big fan of guys who fumble and can't catch as a running back. Like, maybe Jones goes out and proves me wrong and puts up 1,000 yards this year. I just, of all the signings that they made this offseason, big and small, that was the one that I was like, yeah, all right. I don't think it's like killing him or anything. You know, it's not designed for 3 years, but it doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. CEH has had injury issues, right? I could see a scenario where Ronald Jones is younger veteran insurance, and they brought him and they wanted to get that person. They signed him early. Right. They like Derek Gore. They got CEH and they bring in McKinnon. And at the end of this, they may be looking at it and be like, all right, CEH looks good. He's healthy. Now they get another look at Derek Gore in the offseason. If they like Derek Gore, Ronald Jones isn't going to make the team. Like, that's really what it's about, right? Like, if they like Derek Gore, they're not getting rid of CEH, then they're trading Ronald Jones to somebody who's banged up and wants a veteran running back, or they're cutting them loose. So I think it's going to be a really interesting battle to watch. CEH is going to get most of the run. And what always look what people do, not what they say. How are they using Derek Gore? How are they using Ronald Jones early in the preseason? They know what Jerick McKinnon is. He's not
going to put any wear and tear on him in the preseason.
Right.
Why? For what reason?
Yeah. So that's going to be really interesting to see how all of that plays out. It's probably going to be one of the more interesting and exciting position battles. Yep. And of course, what they do at receiver. How do they use those receivers?
Right, how they split it up. I mean, look, Jones, by the way, and this is what I was alluding to as far as usage. Like, in his career, his rookie year, he only ran the ball 23 times. So throwing that out, he's had 724, 976, and 426, and he's averaged 4.2, 5.1, and 4.2. So it's not like he can't run the ball. Like, he's been able to run the ball effectively. He even had one year, had a 98-yard run. Like, the problem I have with it is, okay, 7 catches as a rookie, fine. Then he had 31, 28, and then last year, 10. He also has 7 fumbles in his career. Like, it's not that I think he's bad, because I don't think he's necessarily bad. I just think, like, he's kind of redundant. You know, for me, like, say whatever you want about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Would I rather have Clyde Edwards-Helaire out there? Yeah, I probably would. Now, obviously, he's only played 2 seasons, 803 yards, 517 yards on the ground. You know, 36 catches his rookie year, 19 last year, some injuries. He's fumbled twice, did in back-to-back games last season in the beginning. I don't know. To me, I'd rather have Edwards-Helaire, Gore, and McKinnon just running the ball.
Yep.
And if you can flip Jones, then flip him. And if you can't, you probably can't with a running back. I don't know. Look, again, it's not something that I'm like really like concerned about. I think it'll work itself out. But I thought it was money that was not needing to be spent. That's my 2 cents on it.
Yeah, I want to see more of Derek Gore. He's flashed. Let's give the guy a shot.
He can run. The guy can like legitimately run.
Yeah, he can.
Give him the ball.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get to our long shot offensive free agent prospects in just a second. But if you like the Arrowhead Addict podcast, please consider becoming a member of the Arrowhead Addict family. Members get access to special emojis, loyalty badges they can use during our live YouTube streams. And you also get an invite to the private Discord, where when I had COVID this week, I was talking movies, books, trying to kill the time, quarantine. So you hang out with the AA hosts. We talk Chiefs football, movies, beer. We do private events. We've been doing happy hours. We're actually going to be having a trivia coming up pretty soon. We're probably going to give away one of these bad boys, Arrowhead Addict podcast t-shirt. So check it out. The link's in the description if you're interested, and we appreciate your support. All right. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this, but I thought it was interesting because it's that time of year. It's June. One of our writers over at Arrowhead Addict, Lucas Straczynski, wrote an article about 3 sort of like long shot offensive free agent prospects the Chiefs might kick the tires on. I know every time some of these names come up, people roll their eyes. They get really upset. Oh, that guy, he's always injured. He's done. He's toast. Relax. It's June.
That's why they're long shots.
Yeah, they're long shots, right? So the first one he had, once great receiver, hasn't hit 800 yards or 4 touchdowns since 2019, often injured, Julio Jones. Should the Chiefs kick the tires on Julio Jones, Matt Verderham? What are your thoughts on that?
No. And I like the list by Lucas, by the way, who's always here and hanging out and even is in the chat right now. I was in Stack in the Box. They actually corrected me on a cap mistake I made, so I appreciate him for it. No, look, I don't – like, they already have Josh Gordon. Do they really need Julio Jones? Like, don't they already have a space for a guy who's, like, not done much recently and is hurt all the time? And I think sometimes there's this tendency to be like, well, they're going to carry 6 receivers. We should have 6 of the best guys. Yeah, but you need guys who also play special teams.
Right.
You need guys who can fill certain roles. I would pass on Julio.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason why he's still available. And that is often the case with long shots like this. You know, I agree. Look, Julio was a great player. you know, but the Chiefs have enough depth at the position. I'd much rather see guys with a future, you know, guys like Darius Fountain. Like, I'd like to see some of those guys.
I don't want to see him either.
What can be made? None of you don't have to.
I'd like to see Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman and MVS and Juju. That's what I'd like to see.
Absolutely. That's what I'd like to see. Number two on the list, I thought this one was kind of interesting. Gronk, Rob Gronkowski. Now look, it's gone over in the article. It's probably for Gronk, Tampa Bay or retirement, right? But if you could lure him away, this is a guy who was productive. I mean, this is not like injury history, sure, a little bit long in the tooth, sure. But I mean, he's better than a lot of tight ends when he's on the field last year. Would you bring in Gronk and just go and just try to terrify everybody with Gronk and Kelce sets?
First of all, he's not going to come there to come to Kansas City because he would just be Tampa Bay or bust, as Lucas mentioned in the article, and he's right. But honestly, that actually be somewhat interesting. Like, I think I'd rather at this point just like give Jody Fortson the snaps. But you got to admit, Gronk and Kelce on the same team, even at Gronk's age, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'll say this about Gronk. He would fit in with them. Right. Like, that would be a lot of fun. It's not going to happen, but I actually would be on board. If Gronk called them up and was like, listen, I'll come there for 1 year. Like, okay. You know, Jody Fortson can slide into tight end three. That's fine. Like, I would actually be on board. But no, I do not think it'll happen. I think it's either Tampa Bay retirement.
I mean, I just want to see Gronk and Travis Kelce line up one time on the field at the same time, you know? And then I want to see the touchdown celebrations. It might actually be a bad thing, because if those two get – they might not be the best influence on each other.
They put that behind a paywall.
Right.
But it'd be fun.
It would be fun. And then, of course, last – look, this is a guy who got injured in the Super Bowl, and you and I were there and saw it happen. Probably not going to play early in the season. Odell Beckham Jr. is an interesting name that's still out there. Everyone's probably waiting to see how he's with the injury. And this is another guy, probably, if he's going to play, he's probably going to go back to LA. Was doing a nice job there. What are your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr.?
I would sign him in a heartbeat. If they could get him away from the Rams, I would, in a heartbeat. I don't even care if he plays until the last like six games of the year, because he had real juice left when he was with the Rams last season. He was good.
Yep.
He mattered for them last season. We were, as you mentioned, we were at the Super Bowl. He was dominating that game early and then got hurt. No, listen, now, am I worried about him injury-wise? Yeah, he's had a lot of injuries in his career. Okay, he's older. It's torn ACL. Yes, all those things are true. But would I sign him for a one-year deal and a bunch of incentives? Yeah, absolutely I would. I don't think they're going to, but yeah, of those three guys, like, he clearly has the most juice left.
We know he was interested, and the Chiefs wanted to sign him. Wanted to acquire him last year, and he decided to go to Los Angeles, and now, worked out for him.
Paul in the chat brings up something I was just going to bring up. So Paul and I were on the same page. He says, age aside, can we come up with one other reason why the Chiefs wouldn't trade for Quinn? Now, he's talking about Robert Quinn, who is a 32-year-old edge rusher on the Chicago Bears who stayed away from minicamp. It sounded like it was pretty mutual. Like, hey, why don't you stay to the side? But the Bears owe him a lot of money over the next three seasons. Okay. So that's worth talking about. By the way, as mentioned here in the chat, and it should be noted, Kansas City, congratulations to the city, which will be hosting the FIFA World Cup 2026.
That's incredible. Oh, we got to go.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome. Cool. Good for them.
Yeah,
good for Kansas City. That, super happy. And they, look, the city, Kansas City, has been incredible at soccer. One of the best American cities. So kudos to KC and all who live there. Good for you. I hope to get out there for a couple of games. I love watching the World Cup. Self-admittedly, not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but I will watch the women's and men's national team.
Yeah. Plenty of time to bone up now, though.
Seriously.
A lot of great players.
Seriously.
Yeah.
All right, but back to Robert Quinn real quick. So he's due a lot of money. You can look up the contract. It's I think it's something like over the next 3 years. I think it's in the ballpark of like $40 million. However, if they were to trade for him, they're not on the hook for any guaranteed money. So it basically becomes a year-to-year contract. He's 32. Last year, he had 18 and a half sacks. The year prior, I think he had 2.5. And the year before that, he had 11 and a half. So two of the three previous seasons, he's been excellent. The question for me becomes, what would you have to give up to get him? He's 32. He's expensive. You know the Bears have no use for him at this point. They're in a full-blown rebuild. They want the draft capital. Okay. I mean, if I'm the Chiefs, who have a dozen picks next year, I mean, I would look at this and say, listen,
We're not offering you a first. I mean, he's not worth the first at this point. I would offer them a day three pick. I'd offer them a fourth round pick. I mean, I think that's fair. He's 32. He's expensive. The Bears have no leverage. Obviously, for the Chiefs, there's two reasons this really fits. Actually, three reasons. You have one, you have a lot of picks. Two, you need an edge rusher. And three, the general manager just came from Kansas City.
Right. You've got the relationship.
I mean, you are inside track city. If you have the relationship, you have the cap space, you have the draft picks. I mean, no team is better set up. Now, maybe the Chiefs don't want to make that move. I know we're talking to some people around them. They're very excited about Karlaftis, like increasingly so after seeing him even running around in shorts and a jersey. So maybe they feel like, look, we already have one expensive aging veteran on the edge in Frank Clark. We're good. We'll go with him and Karlaftis. I got to tell you, even if for 1 year, like you're only going to have Clark for this season. So it's quite interesting. He's interesting to me. I would offer them a fourth, and maybe for the sake of somewhat like just irony, if they wouldn't do that, like, well, we need a third, offer that you got as a compensatory pick for Ryan Poles going to Chicago.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be? You trade the Bears the pick that you got because they hired him as a general manager. I would at least talk to them. Now, they want more than that. I tell them to get lost. But, I mean, if you're the Chief, you can't use 18 and a half sacks. Even if you had a down year comparatively in a 10, you'd lead the Chiefs unless right. Chris Jones beats him out or Karlaftis is amazing. Yeah. I think that would be fair. I think a fourth round pick would be fair.
Yeah, and the Bears aren't winning anything this year because you know they're gonna have an offense.
They know it.
right. Might as well acquire picks so that you can, you know, this will be Poles' first year to evaluate and all that. Yep. I agree. I think it's a smart move for the Chiefs. And speaking of pass rushers, we're gonna talk about Chris Jones in just a second and his future with the Chiefs and his contract and all that. But before we get to that, did you know that the Arrowhead Addict Podcast now has swag? Check out the link in the description. I'm rocking the Arrowhead Addict Podcast t-shirt. I love this. I wore this down in Orlando. I had to give a speech, a presentation. That was a little bit nerve-wracking. And this is what I wore. I rocked my Arrowhead Addict Podcast t-shirt for that. I was super proud. And I've been talking about it on the show for a while now. I finally got my shit together and actually got the white Adidas golf hat.
There you go.
Right here. Look at that. Huh? That's a good-looking hat. This can be you, minus the face. Hopefully
that's okay.
Yeah.
Minus the face, minus the COVID.
You'll be good to go. You'll be out on the town. You can show your Chiefs pride, show your Arrowhead Addict Podcast pride with that. So, all right, check out the link in the description if you want any of that. All right, Chris Jones. So 2023 is last year on the contract. He turns 28. I feel like he's been here forever. So it's crazy that he's turning 28. He turns 28 in July. So this is his last big contract. He's going to want to get paid right now. So what do the Chiefs do, right? Do they try to re-sign him? It's going to be very expensive. He's, you know, one of the, I think, 10th in the history of the team in sacks. I read this from Matt Connor, our own Matt Connor over at arrowheadaddict.com. The only realistic way the Chiefs can reduce his cap hit next year is to release him and save $20 million, or B, trade him and save $20 million, or C, extend his contract beyond 2023 and save anywhere from between $5 and $15 million on the 2023 cap. Depends on how the new extension is structured. What is your opinion on Chris Jones? Should the Chiefs re-sign him and pay up all that money? And or is it, hey, you know, we're getting 9-10 sacks from you a year. It's great, but Karlaftis looks good. He's young. And the Chiefs don't have a lot in the way of defensive tackles. They do have a lot in the way of draft picks, and they're remaking their defense. Is Chris Jones part of this second wave Chiefs defense, or is it, hey, it's this year, maybe next year, or is he gone?
I think this is a very hard decision for them because he is, as they are currently constructed, easily the best and the most important player on that defense.
Yep.
They love him in that building to the point they gave him a 4-year, $84 million contract. Okay. And say what you will about him. He is a Hall of Fame level talent. But as you point out, next year is his age 29 season, if I'm correct. I believe I'm correct with that. They just traded Tyreek Hill. Part of the reason that they didn't give Tyreek Hill the contract he wanted, they didn't want to guarantee money into his 30s. Now, how different is that for a speedster of a wide receiver and a defensive tackle? Maybe a little bit. I think that's fair to say. If I were the Chiefs, I would try to extend him on a deal that basically, including next year, is a three-year deal with the first 2 years guaranteed. Okay, I would try to guarantee him in 2023 and 2024 to his age 30 season, and then it becomes a team option. And I know there are people like our guy Wink here, says he doesn't play at Hall of Fame level. Look, man, I'll tell you right now, there's no way in hell that team wins the Super Bowl if he's not there.
No chance.
Go watch the fourth quarter of that game. Like, let me tell you, I was there at the game. I interviewed him. I spoke with him directly after the game. He was easily the biggest difference maker outside of Mahomes in the fourth quarter of that game, including Tyreek, including Kelce, all of them. He's a great player. I mean, everybody talks about him like he stunk last year. He had 9 sacks, a D tackle. And they used him half the year. They misused him as a defensive end.
That's right. If
you ask people in the NFL who the best defensive tackle is, everybody and their mother says Aaron Donald, right? And he is, right? He might be the best defensive tackle ever. Chris Jones has been the number two for years, along with a guy like Fletcher Cox. Okay. Chris can a Canton one day. Like, he's that level of play. Now, that being said, it's still a hard decision because you are talking about getting into your 30s. But if I were the Chiefs, I would try to extend him on a shorter term. And look, we'll give you, including next year, 3 and 65, because the cap's going to go up a little bit. You got to account for that. That's what I would do. First 2 years, so you're guaranteeing age 29, age 30. And then at age 31, you can either move on, you can keep him at that, or if he's fantastic the next 2 years, you can extend him again if you wanted to, you know. But that's how I would do this. If I'm the Chiefs, I think moving on from a guy like that is a very dangerous bit of business. When you move on from Tyreek Hill, you've got Mahomes. Clean up a lot of that. You don't have Mahomes on defense. That, I think, is a much scarier thing than losing Tyreek Hill in a lot of ways.
I think he's going to be motivated this year because it's in some ways it's kind of a contract year. I think the Aaron Donald contract really complicates this for the Chiefs because, you know, if you're Chris Jones, do you want to do the extension? I mean, if I'm Chris Jones and his agent, I'm looking at it and every player is different. Every player has different priorities, right? I'm from Northeast Ohio. I'm a Guardians fan. Jose Ramirez took it. He loves Cleveland. The dude, he just loves Cleveland. He wanted to stay. They were able to re-sign him. Francisco Lindor, great player. I absolutely loved him. The dude was like, no way, man. I'm cashing in. And Chris Jones, this is his last chance to get a big deal. Does he want to do a 2-year extension? Or does he like, no, man, trade me to a team that's going to sign me to a long-term deal. I want to be signed to him 33, 34, and I want the big bucks. I want to lock it in. We just don't know. You know, we don't know. But I think if that's the case, I think the Chiefs have to move on from him. I think they should trade him, especially if he has a good year. And I agree with everything you're saying about, you know, but that's Brett Veach's job, is to replace these players. And maybe the next great player is not a defensive tackle. Maybe it's George Karlaftis. Maybe he's already found his guy, you know, or maybe it's another defensive end. I don't know. But like, Brett Veach has shown he doesn't like paying guys into his 30s. Like you said, he likes to move on. And if he can trade for, if Chris Jones, I'll tell you what, this year could be really interesting because they've really remade the defense. They've got younger. They've got more athletic. Frank Clark is back. I know nobody's excited about that, but the addition of Karlaftis is interesting. He's a pass rushing guy. The Chiefs really like him. If he starts putting pressure on defenses in a way that no other defensive, and Frank Clark plays to par for Frank Clark, which is still okay, that could be interesting for that defensive line. It could be interesting for Chris Jones and open up more opportunities for him. If Chris Jones is playing well, could open up opportunities for Karlaftis. Chris Jones goes out there and remember, he had that year in 2018, 15 and a half sacks when he was in his contract.
Which is, by the way, the last time they could ever rush the passer with anybody but him.
Right. That he's done 9 sacks, 7.5 sacks, and 9 sacks. I know a lot of emphasis gets put on those sack numbers. He wreaks havoc. He's getting double teamed all the time just because he's not putting up those sack numbers. When people think, well, he disappears from the state, he's making an impact. And you saw the impact on the Chiefs defense last year when he went from end back into the middle. If he has a big year this year and he gets 12, 13 sacks, I think the Chiefs should trade him because he's going to be so damn expensive. And they need to keep young, talented. They just need to keep it going throughout Mahomes' career. I don't think he's worth keeping into his 30s. I mean, he is worth keeping, but at the price point, the Chiefs have to be smart.
You may not be wrong, but I'll tell you right now, you trade him, you watch how much that affects Karlaftis.
Yeah, that's
I'm a big believer. Look, man, I'm a baseball fan, and all these people who are always like, oh, trade this guy for prospects. You don't know shit about what that prospect's going to be. I hate when people do it. So I'm saying you are in general, but in general, it drives me crazy. Like, I'm an A's fan, okay? As much as they suck to high heaven. And I have listened to people forever around that fan base. Well, we should trade Olson because we're going to get a bunch of prospects. Well, they did trade Matt Olson because their owner's cheap as hell. And the guy who is the centerpiece of that prospect, Christian Pache, is literally not hitting his weight. He's hitting 150, okay? That's great. He can field. He hits like me. And Matt Olson's killing it, and the Braves won 13 games in a row. The point I'm making is people always love to do this stuff. Like, oh, well, if we trade him, we get five picks. You have no idea what those guys are going to be. You don't know. Like, you're trying to win Super Bowls now. I think the Hill thing was unique because the contract exploded on them right as they were about to sign it, by the way. Okay, the contract was just blown up by the Devonta Adams thing. I tend to feel like Donald is an outlier. I do not think, like, kind of like Mahomes is an outlier. I don't think all of a sudden everybody's going to be getting Donald money. Donald's the best defensive tackle maybe ever. So I don't think that Jones all of a sudden is jumping to that number. I think, and by the way, if that's what he wants, they should trade him. But I really do think with the Chiefs, like, you're trying to win Super Bowls now. You're trying to win now. And if you trade that guy, like, what are you doing? I mean, how do you fix the interior then? Okay, you go. I know the answer for everybody, but do you draft somebody? Well, what if that guy's Breland Speaks? Then what? Then what do you do? What if he's not even Breland Speaks? What if he's Alan Bailey? Nice player, but not going to like. You're screwed. You're screwed. And then Chris Jones is out there having 12 sacks. That's how I feel. I think, look, there's a case to be made, certainly. But if he plays well this year, especially if Karlaftis plays well and they feel like Jones is beating doubles and Karlaftis is one-on-one all the time, I wouldn't mess with that. There's no way. There's no way I'd mess with that.
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating. You know, I'm really excited to see what Willie Gay Jr. does this year. Does he take that quantum leap and become an absolute stud Pro Bowl player? It's gonna be fascinating to watch this defense. I'm really excited about the defense this year. It may not be pretty early on, but I think they may be better when it's all said and done. All right, let's get to our Chiefs uniform power rankings. So that means it's time for you all to sound off in the chat. Let us know. So there's five combos that I have on the list. All right. So there's the Texans throwback uniforms, which, you know, we haven't seen since that anniversary season, but they exist. They're a thing. The classic, the white on red, white jersey, red pants, the all reds, the all whites, and the red jersey on white. So let's do our power rankings. I'll kick us off, Vertoram. I want to hear from you guys in the chat. So list them one through five for me. Number one, I got to go with the red on white. It's just the classic Chiefs uniform, red helmet, red jerseys, white pants. That's what I think of when I think of the Kansas City Chiefs. Childhood makes me happy. Timeless look. That's my number one. What about you, Vertoram?
Yeah, I'm with you. Just red over white. I love those uniforms. I think they're some of the best in football. If I'm looking around the league, I think the best uniforms in the league, in no particular order, Packers, Chiefs, Raiders, Steelers. I'm a traditionalist. The Chiefs uniforms are perfect. Don't screw with them. That's right where I leave it. It's right where I leave it.
Yeah, I agree. I love the classic uniforms as well. Next up for me, number two, is the all whites. I just think the all white uniforms with the red and gold trim, the red helmet, always looks really clean. And they wore that a lot during the Todd Haley era, which was one of the only bright spots. Big fan of the all whites.
All right, so I hate to be boring, but I'm with you. I think part of it, too, is when you grew up. Like Schottenheimer, they always wore white on white.
That's right.
So, you know, I always thought that was such a clean look. They've worn it occasionally under Andy Reid, not very often. But I've always liked those. I've always liked those. So I am with you. I'm boring, I know. We agree here. But I am with you two for two.
All right. We're two for two. Number three. These are, I think that this look is really popular with the players. They wear them a lot during prime time. The all reds, going all red, busting out the red socks, the red pants, the red jerseys, the red helmets. Our guy Stacy's a big fan. That's his number one as well. Red. What do you think, Vertoram? What's your number three?
So mine is their road jerseys, white over red. I used to not like the red pants. Now I do. I still like it better when they're white over white, but I like the white over it. I like the old school road look, if you will.
Okay. All right. It's an interesting look. I prefer the solid color up on top. So that was my number four, was the white over red. Kind of the least exciting one for me. Always just kind of looks a little funny to me. Yeah, that was my number four. What about you?
Mine is the color rush, the red over red. Like, I don't hate them or anything. I think they kind of look like a bunch of ketchup bottles, but yeah. I will say this. I like them a lot better than some of the other color rush uniforms around the league, which just look ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any combination that they have that I dislike. Right. But I would say, for me, like, that color, like, the first time they did it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then now it's like, okay, it feels like they just do these all the time. Yeah. So I'll put that at four.
So that takes the mystery out of it. Number five, for both of us, is the Texans throwbacks. I mean, it was cool. You know, it was like cool to see, but it's not the Chiefs, you know, seeing the state of Texas on the side of the helmet and the weird kind of red color that they were. I just wasn't a fan.
Yeah. I have no time for that. I'll leave my thoughts with two things as we wrap up. One, they should wear the bigger arrowhead on their helmet. They used to have bigger arrowheads on the helmets in the 60s and early 70s. Mm. And that changed accidentally when the decals that were shipped to them were smaller. And they just kept them that way. I think they should go back to them. More importantly, far more importantly than all the uniform rankings. And I swear to God, I'm dead serious with this. They, for people who don't know, used to have a guy who was the groundskeeper. And by the way, the Arrowhead Stadium groundskeepers do a great job because it's natural grass and I think it's beat to hell. And the field always looks immaculate. So I'm not knocking
them with this.
George Toma used to be their groundskeeper. His nickname is the Sod God. Okay. He has been the one who's been in charge of all the fields at the Super Bowls. He is an older gentleman at this point. If you go back and look at their fields when they played at Kansas City Municipal Stadium in the 60s, up right up until 1972, those fields were works of art. They would paint the Chiefs helmet on there and the other team's helmet on there. And they had the gold end zones as the Chiefs used in their Super Bowl season in the playoffs. Give me a cool looking field, damn it.
Yeah.
Their field is so boring. I don't mind the arrowhead in the middle, although I would prefer the helmets on both sides. The end zones, could you be more boring than you are? Chiefs, come on.
Yeah.
And you get these, like, well, it hurts the grass. Oh, come on. Paint the field. Paint the field.
Buy more grass. Your owner's a billionaire.
They literally had such cool fields that when Roselle created the Super Bowl alongside Lamar Hunt, they used the Chiefs groundskeeper to paint the field because he thought they were beautiful.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs now have the lamest end zones on earth. It's like, oh, yeah, Chiefs, touchdown. They spend enough time in them. How about making them cool looking? And the one year they did it, coincidence? I think not. The team won the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep. The gold end zones are a fan favorite.
Give me a damn field that looks like a painting.
Yeah. Give me the helmets back. Those were cool. One quick uniform question before we get out of here. Are you in favor? I know people get real traditional. I don't mind alternate uniforms. I think they're fun. Wear it occasionally. Would you like to see a more prominent gold somewhere?
No, I hate alternate uniforms. Hate them. Hate them with a visceral passion. I am a traditionalist to the end with this stuff. Look, every once in a blue moon, there will be an alternate where you're like, that's pretty cool looking. Most of them are complete bullshit. They're money grabs. It's just some reason for a team to pump out another jersey. If they ever wore a gold jersey in a football game, I think I'd actually have to like skip the game and watch on radio or listen on radio. That would drive me to no end. I can't see Stacey saying yellow top. Stacey, you and I love you, man. Can't do it. I just can't get there. Black uniforms, that was always like a big thing in the aughts, right? Like, oh, they should go to a black alternate. No, they shouldn't. Like, just, they have beautiful uniforms. Leave them alone. For the love of God, don't screw with it. It drives me crazy. Just leave it alone.
I'm on the opposite side. I don't want any permanent changes, but I think occasionally having some fun with the uniforms, with the colors, but keeping it classy, none of this crazy, the neon crap that some of these teams do. I would love to see gold pants with the red. I think that could look really awesome. And as Stacey mentioned, the gold and red jersey. And in fact, I've seen some great mock-ups of a gold helmet and busting out occasionally.
I would need to be hospitalized if they had a gold helmet. Hospitalized. You understand me?
You're so hospitalized. Lighten up. Oh God, Stacey's in there with yellow on yellow.
They look like a damn banana. No, I'm out. I can't. And Lucas brings up the, and we got, I know we got to go because I got to go coach a soccer team. But I will say this. Look, the NBA which I am a Knicks fan, so I am in deep pain, as is Stacey. He and I should start a support group for people who rooted for the Knicks and the Chiefs in the 90s. Look, the NBA, you turn on games in the regular season, you have no idea who the hell's even, like, what team is which. The courts are out of control. Like, nobody even knows what the hell's going on. The Knicks have, like, 37 different uniforms. What the Knicks really should do is wear a uniform that makes them invisible so no one has to watch that shit. But neither here nor there. I mean, the Celtics the other night in the finals, who have more tradition than anybody outside of maybe the Lakers, and that's arguable, are wearing these, like, alternate black uniform. You're the Boston Celtics. Wear the green on white, the white on green. Enough of this crap. Enough. Wear class. Let the Jaguars change their uniforms 87 times, okay? You're the Kansas City Chiefs. You got tradition. Leave it alone.
He has the last word. I'm going to give it to him, even though I don't agree. Have some fun. Have some fun at sports. All right, we got to get out of here, everybody. This has been great. You guys are awesome. Well over 100 of you watching live. You're absolutely fantastic. The fact that so many of you are still with us here in June. We need your help. We need you to head over to Apple Podcasts. We haven't had a review in a while, and the last couple we had were not very kind. So if you could do us a favor, if you haven't left a review in a while, we need stuff to talk about anyway. We're ranking food. We're talking about jersey rankings. So leave us a question. What do you want to hear from us? Go to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave a written review. Ask us your question at the bottom. We will answer it on the podcast, guaranteed. Thank you so much for your support. I hope you're having a great summer. I hope you're staying cool. I know this is a sick heat wave. Stay healthy. Stay cool. We'll see you next week. Matt and Sterling will be back on Tuesday. Bergeram and I will be here on Thursday. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.